Monster Man, Episode 102, Giant Strider and Gibberling. Stop hitting with a Monster Man. It was a bad plan, but I had to get the sound on it. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the G chapter of the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we get started with today's monsters, I want to continue some remarks from episode 100. After we'd stopped recording, Ted and I were talking, and he mentioned one other thing that might be a good use for the Galtrit, the little blood-sucking gargoyle-like guy that we discussed at the beginning of that episode. Ted was talking about familiars. You know, familiars in D&D, I don't really know how they worked in AD&D. Again, I mainly play 5th. But they're one of those things where their mechanical impact is not enormous. But what they really do is illustrate kind of the character and style of a magic user. So someone who had a Galtrit, which, you know, is kind of a mean, spiteful little creature with a sneaky attack. You know, someone who had one of those as a familiar, you know, that would tell you a good deal about that wizard and, you know, who they were. I think that's a fun idea. You can do this with a lot of, like, the smaller creatures. And indeed, we know that imps and quasits are intentionally sent to the prime material plane as familiars for various types of evil magic user. Anyway, that was a comment that Ted made that, you know, we didn't record, but that I thought was a good addition to our discussion about the Galtrit. Or maybe the Galtrit. I don't know. No question about how to pronounce our first monster for today, though. That's the Giant Strider. Now, the Giant Strider is kind of just an accessory to the Fire Newts, who we've already talked about, right? Fire Newt cavalry ride around on Giant Striders. And just as I think that the Fire Newts were inspired by the existing Salaman miniatures, I think that the Giant Strider is the same. You know, I think somebody sculpted a, you know, lizardy guy on a big kind of flightless bird stroke lizard kind of looking like a Struthiomimus sort of a creature. And then Albie Fiori was tasked with coming up for stats with them. Now that's just a hypothesis based on, you know, when I think most of the content for this book was created compared to when those miniatures, which would have been, you know, in designed slightly earlier than they went into production, were first advertised. Especially because an entire range of Fiend Factory miniatures, you know, the first, I think, 40 entries in that range were released at the same time, or at least first advertised at the same time. I suspect that means that the visual design of the Fire Newt had occurred significantly before the monster. Indeed, if they had come from Albie Fiori's description of the Fire Newt, they would have been called Fire Newts rather than Salaman, right? Anyway, the Giant Strider. So I think Fiori's working from an existing visual design here. And what he comes up with is something that's kind of interesting. So it's basically a mount for Fire Newt Cavalry. It has some abilities of its own. And interestingly, it's rather more comprehensively fire-themed than the Fire Newts themselves. So it shoots tiny little fireballs out of ducts near its eyes. Only D6 damage and only a couple of times a day, but you don't really expect an animal-type creature to have a ranged attack. So it might throw you off a little bit. And it lives in warm environments to the point where heat actually heals it rather than hurting it. So if you like shoot a fireball at it, it actually treats that as a cure spell and gets a little bit better. Again, only a limited number of times, or a limited frequency rather. So yeah, I mean, I think these guys are fun. I think mounts are kind of an underserved category of creature, you know, especially given D&D's kind of pseudo-medieval aesthetic and the number of creatures whose motivation is essentially that they're kind of bandits or raiders. You know, you'd think that more thought would be given to them being mounted. But they all seem to be on foot. I'm not 100% sure why that is. But that's actually not true. There are mounted monsters. I wonder if it's a mechanical thing. I really don't know. But D&D tends to assume, you know, a bunch of people walking around on foot rather than on riding animals of various kinds. Presumably because that's how you would go into a dungeon. You couldn't really get your mount in there. So I guess that kind of aesthetic assumption generalizes to the world in general. Like, I remember always thinking that when I looked at the kind of between chapters illustrations of the computer game Baldur's Gate, where you see these people apparently traveling long distances just on foot, but like festooned with armor and gear, so you would assume that they'd be able to afford horses.
The Giant Strider is pretty good. It's, you know, in keeping with the aesthetic of the Newts, but it's not obviously a spin-off of them, so it makes sense that, like, oh yeah, this is just another creature that lives in the same habitat that they live in. It's not designed to be of a piece with them. It just makes sense that they would ride around on them. I like their faces. Again, this may come from the miniature, which makes sense, because one of the things that I like about the design is that it has this sort of sense of three-dimensionality, and they're pretty cool. Next, we have the Gibberling. The Gibberling was created by Underworld Oracle, who we've seen previously coming up with things like the Death Dog or the Apparition. And like those two, the Gibberling is a basic kind of bread-and-butter utility monster. They're swarms of kind of primitive caveman types, and they remind me, in the way that they're described, of the Morlocks from The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. These kind of pale subterranean creatures that hate the light and can be chased off by, you know, fire or bright light. Among underground dwelling monsters, that hardly makes them unique. There are lots of things that don't like bright light. Indeed, we've seen some previously in this book with the dark creepers and the dark stalkers. But the Gibberlings have a few additional bits. So, for example, they set up a howling, and this will frighten hirelings who have to take morale checks. Player characters don't. Now, we're not taking away player character agency by forcing them to just run away whenever a monster does a scary thing, because that kind of deprives you of the monster encounter. But here, it's used to kind of attack the support force that is a pretty common feature of Dungeoneering Expeditions in early versions of Dungeons & Dragons. Hirelings are not really a feature of modern D&D very much, and if you play a lot of modern D&D and don't have hirelings, you can easily see why by introducing them into the game, because they're a nuisance to keep track of. And there's a lot of stuff to keep track of already. But here, it's a fun idea, right, that we're going to take these guys and, just by this one very simple rule, turn them from, oh, just kind of some record-keeping convenience into something that you really have to worry about. You know, because they're going to panic and run away, and then they're going to be in the dungeon without you, where, you know, they might very well be vulnerable, and they've got all your stuff. It's a fun little idea. Gibberlings are all fighters. Nobody knows where they came from. Nobody understands their language. They just gibber at each other, hence the name. Which I guess is also the origin of the term barbarian, right? Like, it bar, bar, bar. It's like blah, blah, blah. So it's the noise that barbarians make because they're not civilized enough to speak Greek. So Gibberlings are basically, they're all fighters. They have no society. You know, they just exist to get mown down in dungeons. And then Underworld Oracle has the nerve to present this as, like, a curious mystery about their species rather than, like, I don't care to bother defining these guys because they exist to get punched. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of funny that that's what they went ahead and did. I think Gibberlings are kind of cool, but once again, they're like another low HD swarm monster. I do feel like if you were designing D&D from the ground up, you would just create like a base, you know, minor, medium, and major humanoid opponent, and then like a set of modular other characteristics that you could layer on top of them to make kobolds, goblins, bugbears, gnolls, flints, hobgoblins, orcs, these guys, you know, zvarts, dark creepers, grimlocks, etc., 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 right? There's a lot of like, oh, we're just some guys, oh, troglodytes. There's a lot of, we're just some guys that live underground and like to hit people. But the fact that they didn't do that, I think, is kind of part of the game's charm. However, you know, I pointed out, I don't even want to say criticized, but it's notable that the Gibberlings basically have no background and no context. In our next episode, we're going to look at some creatures that are all background and context. I'm referring to the Githyanki and the Githzerai. So, please join me next time as we talk about those scrawny dimension travelers on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the Deities and Demigods Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.